Hi, welcome to Life Church Online. I'm Pastor Tim.
And I'm Pastor Harriet, and we are so glad that you've joined us today. Welcome home. We love you.
Hey, we want to let you know, if you are watching us online for the very first time, then we would like to connect with you. Simply use your phone and text WELCOME to 910-400-1123 and then follow the prompts.
And if you want to share a prayer request with us, then you can use your phone for this too. Text the word PRAYER to 910-400-1123. Our leadership team will pray for you because we believe in the power of prayer.
Yes, we do. Now let's get ready to lean in to another faith-filled service.
Good morning, Life Church. It's so good to be with you all this morning for our Mother's Day Sunday morning online experience. I'm so happy that you tuned in. It just blesses us that you guys would join us for this time on Sunday mornings. And I hope that it's been really meaningful for you and your family. And I hope that today's message just brings you a lot of joy. I want to say before we get started that we are filming this, if it's being watched at a later date, during the coronavirus pandemic 2020, when we have had to take all of church experience online. And so it's kind of a new thing for us, but we are back in our original location in our auditorium this morning, filming for you and bringing it to you today. And today is Mother's Day, and I just want to give a shout out today to all you moms out there, especially all you moms who are now homeschooling moms and you didn't really know you were going to be a homeschooling mom this year. I want to say, way to go. You guys are doing a great job. I hope today you don't have to cook a thing. I hope it's all prepared for you and brought to you today and you don't even have to do the dishes. So happy Mother's Day to all of you that are out there. And today, after my message, if you would just stay tuned, we have a very special Mother's Day presentation for you. So I feel like today God gave me a word for all of us, not just for women, not just for moms, but for the whole entire church. All of us. And the word is, don't get stuck in this moment. Don't get stuck in this moment that we're in right now. There is an old U2 song. I don't know how many U2 fans are out there, but there's an old song that they have that has a phrase in it that says, I'm stuck in a moment and I can't get out of it. I'm stuck in a moment and I can't get out of it. This message that I'm going to talk about this morning is kind of like that song with a little twist on it. Now, how many of you have ever done a load of laundry and you left the laundry in the washing machine too long? It was a great idea to do the laundry. The laundry was dirty. Thank God for washing machines, right? You take the dirty laundry, you put the laundry in the washing machine and you begin to do a load of laundry, but you kind of forget about it and you forget that it's there. And instead of rewashing it, you just take it out, put it in the dryer, and then when it's all dry and ready to go, you wear it. Well, I don't know about you, but there's a smell that has. You know that smell? It's the smell of old laundry plus a little bit of body odor and a little bit of body heat, and it's just gross. It's just the worst smell. I hate that smell, and I can always tell when that's happened in my house. I'm like, take it off, take that off. That has to be rewashed. We have to rewash that load of clothes. It's just horrible. You know, today I feel like I've been sent to tell some of us that it's time to rewash our clothes because they're sort of stinking, and so it's time for us to once again put them back through the washing machine and clean them again. For months now, at the first of the year, and then again for Flourish Sisterhood in February, I have been hearing the word new. I have been hearing this word over and over. God was saying, I'm doing something new, I'm doing something new. Before the coronavirus and COVID-19 was even a thing, I'm doing something new. And I just began to hear it over and over. And you know, God stays the same yesterday, today, and forever, but He is always doing something new here on the earth. Through His people, always. He's always moving. He's always carrying the kingdom of God forward. So I want to ask you, are you willing today to allow God to do something new in you? Are you willing today to allow Him to do something new inside of you? A couple of years ago, we started singing here at our church a Hillsong worship song called New Wine. And it's a beautiful song. If you haven't heard it, you can go listen to it. But some of the lyrics say, where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom. The kingdom is here. And then it says this line, I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. And I started thinking about that. How do we get new wine? What are old flames? How does that come into play in our lives? And you know, I believe an old flame may be something that once brought life to you, but it no longer serves any purpose in your life. It may be a vision that God Himself gave you that was meant for another time. It was meant for an earlier time in your life. It may be a tradition that you hold or your family holds that is now lifeless. It's just a form that has no power in it. It may be something that God Himself has asked you to do, but the season now is past. An old flame is whatever keeps you from God's new assignment and new leading today. So I want us to go to our text today. You're going to find it in 1 Samuel 16, and I'm going to read 13 verses. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 13 in 1 Samuel 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. But Samuel said, how can we go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And you shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said. That's really important. Samuel did, no matter what his feelings were, no matter how much disappointment, how much discouragement, Samuel did what the Lord said, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? And he said, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And then when it came about that they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken a look at just someone's outside appearance and thought, they're put together. I mean, that guy's got the right tattoos and skinny jeans. I mean, it's got to be him. It has to be him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, nor for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And then Shammah passed by and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all of your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. He's just a shepherd. He's out in the fields. We didn't even think as much for him to even bring him in and have him be counted among the children. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So he went back to Ramah where he had come from. So, wow. If there had been no anointing of David, there would be no Jesus, because Jesus was born from the lineage of David. So this is just a real, it's an eye-opening text. How many of you today are in this same place that Samuel was finding himself in? He was hurt. He was grieving for what once was. He had already anointed a king named Saul. He had already arisen, gone and anointed a king, and that king had disappointed him to no end. So much so that God finally said, enough, I reject him. And you know, he was discouraged. He was pining away for a lost season that was no longer there. Many of you today may be standing in front of a door. You're knocking, you're knocking, you're knocking on the door, and you have no idea that God himself has closed the door. The door is closed. It's closed forever. God himself did it. He made the door closed. And today, I just want to leave with you two ways that you and I can pick up and use these two things to get us into a new day and to get us out of this moment so that we don't get stuck in this moment. And the first one is to call it over. Some of you need to hear, the horse is dead. It's time to dismount. It's over. And it's time that you begin to call the season over. You need to say it out loud with your mouth. This is over. This had a season. The horse was once alive, but now it is dead. It is time for me to move past this and get beyond it. God starts this whole passage in 1 Samuel 16 with these words, how long? How long are you going to mourn? Can we just call it over and begin to move forward? You know, many of us are stuck. We're stuck in a moment because of hurt, of pains, of wounds. This is a big one, of offenses in the past, of rejections, old things that happened in a past season. But unlike the U2 song, you and I can move out of it. We are not stuck in a moment and can't get out of it. We actually can move out of it. Some of us have had so many disappointments in our lives that we wake up one day and we begin to realize that our world has become very, very small. Very small. We have very few friends. We have very few limited real relationships in our life. Why is that? Do you ever just stop and go, why is this the case? I believe when we put up walls to protect ourselves, we protect ourselves against the hurts, the wounds, the rejections, but we keep people on the outside. We don't need people anymore because people are what has hurt us in the past. But you know, when we shut people out, what happens to our lives is that we become dull. And I don't mean just a dull person, dull in personality. That's probably true. But we become dull in our spirit because the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. And so one man sharpens another. We need one another. We need, when this pandemic is over, online church experience is not meant to carry us to the new day. It just isn't. When New Hanover County opens back up again, I hope you come back to the house of the Lord and get around people again. We need people. We cannot live shut away from people. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have a baby or you get sick or you have to go in the hospital, Stephen Furtick is not going to come bring you a chicken casserole. He's not going to come visit you in the hospital. He's amazing, and I love to watch his sermons. We sing elevation worship music all the time. But you need your local church. Stephen Furtick would tell you that too. Go to church. Get yourself back into church. You need people or your world gets very, very small. So some seasons, we just need to say it's over. I'm calling this over. And you need to say it and you need to allow that to end because it's not working anymore. You know, how long are we going to mourn over what didn't work? When will we be willing to actually let it go? God's breath, God's life is not on it anymore, and it actually smells like old laundry. It smells like it's been left in the washing machine too long and then put into the dryer. Okay, number two. Number two is you need to go again. Go again. Our daughter, Bailey, she married a beautiful Australian guy a year and a half ago. And in Australia, they have all of these sayings. And one of the things they say is go again. Sometimes they'll say, I'll have a go. But they will say that, go again. They mean try again, do it again, go again. Samuel had to go again. He had to do that. Was it hard? I'm sure. It's like Samuel had kind of forgotten that the whole reason he was born to Hannah was to anoint David as king. He somehow forgot that in the middle of all of Saul's anointing and reign as king and all the things that he did to reject and disobey God. Somehow Samuel had forgotten what his own identity was. So I'm sure it was hard for him to arise and anoint again. I'm sure it was. And it will probably be hard for you and hard for me to go again as well. But let's look at what Isaiah 43 says in verse 18. It says, "Forget about what's happened." This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. "Don't keep going over old history. Don't keep going over and over and over the past things. Be alert. Be present. You cannot live in the today, in the present, if you're still living in yesterday and yesterday's wounds and hurts and disappointments and discouragements. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? I want to say to some of you, you have to open your eyes to see what God is actually doing. Don't you see what God is doing? God is saying, you've rehearsed this and rehearsed this and rehearsed this. It's enough now. It's time to stop. It's time to stop. God is calling us to see it and then to go again. What do you do when things get hard? Do you cave? Do you say, oh, you know what? I knew this was going to be too good to be true. You know, it's just the same old all the time. And just revert back to what's familiar. What do you do? Or do you press on and go again? You know, the Great Commission doesn't come to you and I with any kind of caveat. It doesn't say, go and make disciples, unless you're uncomfortable. Go and make disciples if it's safe. Go and make disciples as long as it fits your schedule and your plans. Go and make disciples, even if it's going to be not perfect. Jesus simply says, go and make disciples in my name. There is no caveat at the end of that. That's all he simply says. But what if I got hurt or wounded? You know, what if someone at church, what if somebody in my small group, what if they hurt or wounded me? You know, there is no pass for us just because someone hurt us. There is no pass. The Great Commission is the Great Commission. And God said to Samuel, rise and anoint again. You know, Samuel did not stop building the church because he got his feelings hurt, because he was discouraged and disappointed. He didn't, and neither should you or I. We should go again. Samuel could have said, I've gone to church. I've been in that small group. I've served my heart out, and I got my feelings hurt. I know how that is. Listen, don't make it about you, because it isn't about you. Don't make it about you. Sometimes we just need people to tell us, you left that shirt in the wash too long. There was a timing for it, to put it in the washer, but that time is over. It's expired. It's done. When I was little, there was a song that my parents used to listen to, and I can remember coming home from school, and I would hear it playing. They had a record of it on the record player, and I can remember hearing it on the radio, and it was a song by Frank Sinatra called My Way. And that's kind of the only thing I can remember that the song said is, I did it my way. And he said it over and over, I did it my way. And you know, it was such a hit. The only problem with that song is that it does not work. I did it my way never, ever works. You know, there's a new day for you and I. There's new wine for us to partake of, and God wants to give it to us. He wants to give us something fresh. He wants to give us something new. He wants to give us something filled with Him and with life. But if we insist on my way, it will never come. You know, as we read in 1 Samuel, we can see that God has His way. And when Samuel anointed God's king for Israel, it was a smashing success. I feel like God is saying to some of us that it's time to stop crying the same old tears over the same old regrets. Where today do you need a new path? Where do you need a new day? It may be in your parenting, maybe in your friendships, maybe in your marriage, it may be in your business. There's a whole host of places where God could bring and usher something new. But the question is today, are you willing to lay down your old flame for it? One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 16:6, and it says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Behold, or surely, I have a delightful inheritance." Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I just want to say to some of you today, God has a delightful inheritance for you. He has already determined the boundary lines of your life, and they are pleasant places. They are beautiful places, but you have to be willing to say, "This is over, I will go again." You have to be willing to do that. So I just want to encourage you today, choose to do it God's way. Choose always to do it God's way. I believe that 2020 can be filled with new wine, but I believe we have to be willing to embrace it and to be willing to get up, arise from where we are, and go and anoint and be ready for the new day. I want to pray for you as we end. I hope this morning that you have been encouraged in your spirit. I hope today that you heard something that you're like, "That was for me." I pray that God's word ministered to you. So let's pray today. Father, I thank you so much for every listener. I thank you, God, for every home that my voice is traveling into today. I ask, God, that you would bless from the greatest to the least of them, every heads of home. I ask that you would give them wisdom, that you would anoint them, God, as they lead and as they go into a new day. I pray, Lord, that you would put courage, encourage your people today to be able to make the change, to be able to call the season over and to have the courage to go again. I ask, Lord, that you will just cause your anointing to be there. Let it bring forth life. Let it bring forth newness. And God, we know that the best is always yet to come. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. We thank you for your word that is always alive and always speaking to us. We love you, Lord, and we just give you praise and honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to thank you guys for joining us today. Happy Mother's Day. We will see you back here again next week.